Hi, it's Margaret Robinson here with the Two-Spirited Roundtable, and today I'm talking to Jeffrey McNeil Seymour, who's Sikwakum from Kamloops, BC, doing his Master's of Social Work at the University of Toronto. Welcome, Jeffrey.
Thank you for having me. I'll introduce myself. My name is Jeffrey McNeil Seymour. I am Sikwakum from the interior British Columbia, more specifically Kamloops. My given name is Simrao, which means bobcat, and it was given to me last year on my 35th birthday that marks my ascension into adult status. And so I'm here doing my master's at Factory Umintosh Faculty of Social Work, and I graduate in a month. So
congratulations.
Thank you.
So tell me about your experience with the powwow that you wrote up for this book chapter.
So while I was conducting my research, I kind of actually was in a moment of writer's block. And so I went to this powwow with some of my cohort in Merritt, British Columbia, which has like a very strong cowboy culture there. So as you can imagine, there is quite a bit of homophobia and that sort of stuff that goes along there, racism as well. But anyways, we went to this small powwow in a small gym, and it was the first time that I'd ever seen a cross dance, or what's known as a switch dance in other nations. So what happens at a cross dance is men and women swap regalia. So say like a women's fancy shawl dancer swaps with a men's regalia. So basically it's a performativity piece. So those people have to do their best to emulate how a man dances and his grass dances, or, you know.
So they do the dance of the other person as well.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so the really cool thing about this is that even though it creates a space for fun and for laughter, it's also very respectful because you don't disrespect the regalia, right? Mm-hmm. So people are still laughing and having a good time, but those dancers have to take themselves really serious. And so this switch dance and cross dance is a powwow special. So what would happen here is that a person would have had to have gone up to the host drum. And so there's different drums at a powwow. And so that person would have had to bring up a tobacco tie and ask for it. And mm-hmm. then they go ahead and they do it. So what was really exciting about seeing this for the first time in this really homophobic town was here into the arena came a trans two-spirit person in women's fancy dance regalia and was dancing and accepted for how she presented and who she was, and, you know, was cheered on and celebrated for that. She didn't swap regalia, but mm-hmm. at least here was a space in the Aboriginal community where this sort of performativity or connection to culture was accepted. So I thought that was really huge because of where Merritt is and because of the entrenched homophobia in that town, I would wrongfully so make the assumption that heteropatriarchy is really deeply entrenched in the Aboriginal community there. And I know that it is in mine, so I just kind of made that assumption. But it was really cool to see that here was a space where nobody really was like getting, you know, really upset or perturbed at the fact that this individual was out in the arena, you know, mm-hmm. dancing her soul. So that was really beautiful to see. It was interesting to see that too, because juxtaposed against the Kamloops powwow, which happens in my territory probably about 7 years ago or so, there was a trans jingle dress dancer who took second place.
Oh, wow. But you must be good to do second place.
Right?
Yeah. Those competitions are hardcore.
Yeah. So the really troubling piece that happened with this person, however, was that the elders and the powwow committee halted her from claiming that prize because of her gender identity.
Oh, that's horrible.
Yeah. So when I was talking to my cousins about it, like, they weren't in agreement with it either, but it's kind of hard to go up against your elders, you know, to say, hey. But they said that because she was dancing this jingle dress dance, that she would have had to have gone back to the Ojibwe people and had asked to be able to dance that dance and to wear that regalia. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, really? Come on now. I'm like, I'm sure that most of my cousins and other, you know, women that are dancing that dance that aren't Ojibwe probably haven't gone back to the Ojibwe nation and been like, hey, can I dance this dance? You know, so it was just a really sad piece to hear. But, you know, flash forward 7 years later, and here's this space, of an accepted space. And so what's been really exciting, too, is that through social media, aka Facebook, I've also seen a bunch of other Aboriginal friends of mine on Facebook that have posted over the past year a number of cross dances that have been happening. And so bringing that back to my chapter, one of the recommendations that I would make for persons working with Aboriginal people who identify as LGBTQS or Two-Spirit is to bring that knowledge forward and let them know that these dances happen. Because I think that it's a really exciting way to interrupt the heteropatriarchy that's happened in these gender binaries. Like, there's really clear lines between these things. So to kind of break down those barriers and to at least get the conversation started, or even if people aren't talking about it, at least it, you know, that's something that they've witnessed, you know? So I think that that's really important to, in an effort to move forward. And one way of, like, reclaiming identity or roles and responsibilities, or creating space to at least start the process for people that are just, you know, connecting back to community now.
Well, that sounds great. One of the things I've heard described around gender in Aboriginal communities is that rather than it being like a line that is a spectrum, I've heard it described as a circle, so that the two ends meet and there's movement around the circle.
Right.
Because the circle is often used quite extensively in Aboriginal symbology. Does that, in your opinion, come into how people express gender at a powwow? Like, are the people who were engaged in the trading of regalia, are they in some way different types of gendered people, or are they really more normatively gendered people who are just exchanging roles for this particular dance?
I would be hard to gauge. I think that through observation, I would assume that the majority are normatively gendered persons that are swapping regalia. And I really like that you have heard about the, you know, like how it's not such a linear thing, but like turned into a more holistic, more circular format. Terry Tafoya talks about that, like if we take the line of gender and sexuality, like the line of gender and turn it into circle, we take the line of sexuality and turn it into circle, at different points throughout one's life, there's an infinite, you know, number of possibilities of, in terms of where you might identify as more masculine, more feminine, or whatever, or, you know, more gay, more straight, more bisexual, or any of those sorts of pieces. And so that line of thinking, when I first came across it, definitely spoke to my own personal experience. Like, in my 20s, I was definitely more androgynous. I would be at the grocery store or checking out any other checkout counter, and a majority of the time the salesperson would be like, "Will that be everything, ma'am?" And I'd be like, "Yep." So, yeah.
Yeah, it fits with my experience too. I've been sirred a couple of times, more than a couple of times in my life. When I had a more masculine appearance, and recently I discovered my brother used to use my liquor ID to purchase things for himself because he felt that I looked extremely masculine. And I said, didn't anyone ever ask about the name? He said, I tried to come up with ways to pronounce it as a boy's name, but nothing worked. He said, but when they looked at your butch face, they just went right on by. They didn't even mind. So I think maybe this is an experience that people have of shifting on the gender circle during their lifetime. I noticed too, like, I come from a rural area, and the way that women express femininity in a rural environment is very different from the way that they might express femininity in an urban environment. And the ways that those expressions get labeled as butch or as femme or as just normal, and sort of in quotes, vary quite dramatically as well.
Yeah. When I was at the beginning of my undergrad, I wound up going to a Sundance in Montana, and it was really interesting to go here. It was so amazing to go to this space, but a lot of the times when I'm in community now, and especially in particular at this moment, the ways that I kind of trouble that heteropatriarchy that's embedded in our communities is I'll do my best to move fluidically between both men's and women's roles.
Mm-hmm.
So, for instance, at my uncle's passing ceremony, I was in the kitchen helping the ladies, and the men really got upset by that. They're like, what are you doing? And I'm all like, just helping the ladies, and, you know. So that was really hilarious. But then I, you know, go out and I do, you know, watch the, like, I'm a fire keeper as well, and do that sort of work. So coming back to Montana, I was interesting as I was, like, beginning to understand roles and responsibilities or gender and that sort of piece. You know, I was helping to set up the Sundance Arena, and it was interesting because I've also heard that Two-Spirit people had a central role around helping with the center pole.
Mm-hmm.
And but I didn't learn that until afterwards. So it was really interesting that I gravitated towards going and helping fall the tree and carry it back down and help put it back up, you know, and mm-hmm. I had no idea. But it was interesting that I just kind of flowed to that space. But then I also was helping with getting the linings for the Sundance Lodge, because you're not supposed to see the dancers when you're on the inside. And so we were getting all these poplar saplings, and here I am in the backcountry with these women from the community, and they, for lack of a better term, were heterosexual, but they were more butch than I was, for sure. Like, here I am, I'm like, in my cowboy shirt, you know, I'm all like fashioned up, got my fancy pants on, wear my moccasins, and they're just like, who are you? And I'm all like, I'm Jeffrey McNeil Seymour. And they're like, where are you from? I'm like, I'm from Kamloops, British Columbia. They're like, where's that? I'm like, Canada. And they were like, where's that? And
oh, wow.
I was like, whoa, you know? So that was definitely interesting. But, you know, again, too, after I completed all of this work, that definitely created a little bit more accepted space for me to be walking in the community and with the family that I was honored to be asked to come and support at this ceremony.
What recommendations would you have for people who are interested in maybe troubling or challenging some of those more rigid gender roles that they might encounter in Aboriginal community? Like, I've heard that women are now interested in playing the large drums, and so there've been some issues with that, or some people who are female-bodied have been interested in being fire keepers. What are your thoughts on those kind of roles and people's ability to negotiate around that?
I mean, with the story that I shared with you in terms of what I do, it's just a matter of doing it. So for an Aboriginal person to be in community and wanting to do those sorts of things, is just to move into those spaces and just go for it, or ask, or find that entry, that person that you can enter into that through. If I was to prophesize the future, that I think that there's going to be a lot more breaking down of those, you know, what are traditionally men's spaces or traditionally women's spaces. Just last night, in fact, I was watching this bear dancer, and she's from a community north of Kamloops. And I saw her just before I left, and she wears a grizzly bear regalia, but she dances with the traditional women at powwows, and so she comes out, and it's just like there's a bear in the powwow arena. And so I had never heard her speak, and I saw a clip of her on YouTube last night talking about the responsibilities to the land, the responsibilities to each other, and that we need to start bringing back our traditions, because powwow is a performativity space, but we all have our own specific dances from our own specific communities that we should be sharing and holding up together. And that she's the only woman bear dancer that she knows of. And so she's taken her dancing all around the world now, sharing this from her territory. And I think that that was just a really fantastic example of troubling those spaces of, you know, men's dances and women's dances.
Well, I have one last question, and then I'll want to thank you for participating with this. What did it feel like to be at a powwow where that kind of switch dancing was happening? Like, as a LGBTQ or two-spirited Aboriginal person, what's the emotional impact of something like that?
Having participated in powwows from 6 years old, and for that to have been the first time that I'd seen anything like that, in conjunction with the time that I was collecting the stories and doing the research, it was so liberating, you know, like, and it was, it it made me tear up. It gave me hope, you know, seeing this in such a small community, to have these accepted spaces for our people, because we are talking so much about reconciliation, and one of my big challenges with the reconciliation discourse is that most often than not, it's never acknowledged that residential schools rewrote our ways of knowing gender and sexuality. To see these spaces that are opening up for people to be moving back into their traditional roles and responsibilities, or visibility, which is another thing. And that was one of the biggest pieces that came out of my research, was that all of my participants pointed to either the need for a gay pride parade in Kamloops, or for the Two Spirit International Conference to be held in Kamloops, or for more visibility at powwows, just so that people can see that they're not alone. And so for this to have happened there, created that space for, you know, gender performativity or whatever you want to call it. So that was definitely one of the pieces that came forward for me as to one part of the solution to bring people back into community.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to thank you for participating in the Two Spirited Roundtable podcast, and I've really enjoyed talking to you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jim.